Mendenhall had mentioned a service in Fairbanks where my dad pushed the supernatural. It was a celebration of the parish's 40th year there. And he had said that switched something in the entire state. The way he was pushing supernatural switched it in the spirit. And Pastor Glover's spiritual authority is that strong. And then when you look at apostles, people will always say, they'll compare it to, you know, these apostles. Or they'll say apostle means sent. So if you go start a church, you're an apostle. That's not true. If you're a missionary, you should be an apostle, but that doesn't mean they always are. Brother Eichert's turning into an apostle. I don't know if you guys noticed that. He's got much, much more authority, much more boldness. It's a very awesome thing to see. But Pastor Glover has so many pastors that have come out of this church that it's undeniable. So as an apostle, he can flow in all those gifts of the Spirit. And he's your pastor. He's your shepherd. He's your teacher. And so we might not realize or feel that entire effect of the spiritual authority that Pastor Glover has. But ultimately, the umbrella that he has in the spirit world expanding is a very powerful thing. And it's something that's going to protect you as you stay under there and you submit and allows you to grow. With that being said, we need that prophetic anointing to flow through Pastor Glover. Amen. And we can pull it out of Pastor Glover. And we can, our hunger can draw it out of Pastor Glover. And it's that prophetic anointing, because who here has received a word from God? A promise from God, that you would say a prophetic promise. Amen. How many of you have had it come to pass? Right now, how many of you are looking at impossible situations with a prophetic word? Right. Or a promise you've received, and it doesn't look like there's no way in the world it's going to be. You can't see it. You're looking at dry bones is what you're looking at. Right. And we need the prophetic anointing to quicken some promises. We need the prophetic anointing to make alive again hopes that we have because of words we received that we've been holding on to that are dead in our arms. It's that prophetic anointing. So let's talk about the prophetic a little bit. You know, Elijah and Elisha, the double portion has been preached 3 billion times. And it's miracles is what they point to. You know, he said, and I'm looking at 2 Kings 2. Verse 9, God always takes every bit of aggressiveness and everything out of me whenever I'm going to do something like this. It kind of gets annoying. I was all fired up last night, and I knew it was going to change. But I had a chip on my shoulder for people like Brother Morgan, for the prophetic, and the fact that they're willing to stand up to the demonic. They're willing to fight it over and over and over again. And the spirit of unbelief, that's our issue. Really, it's the church's issue. And that's still an issue. That's unbelievable. But they're willing to fight it and fight it and fight it. And it attacks their body. We'll get on that. So Elijah says in verse 9, says, what shall I do for thee? And he says, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. He didn't say a double portion of miracles or your miraculous power, or he just said, I want a double portion of your spirit. He said, that's a hard thing. But when I'm taken, if you're there, all right. So verse 11. And it came to pass that they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire. Parted them asunder, Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Jesus. pray for the prophetic anointing to begin to flow, however quietly, however powerfully you want to do it, Jesus. I'm going to reveal a few of the secrets that you've shown me about me. I pray I do it in a good spirit, and I pray that you would bless and that you would bless our body here, the body of Christ, Sturm Pentecostal Church. And I'm going to operate in the gifting that you've gifted me, the office, and that's the office of a prophet right now. And I pray you would anoint that and bless it in Jesus' name. I'm under submission to my pastor, and he could stop it. I'm not going to do anything aggressive, but I need you to lead me, Jesus. The prophetic anointing, just by the very nature of what it is going to be so much, and it's Jeremiah 1:10, and it's going to be so much of, I've said it before, it's conflict in the spirit. There's so much of it you're never going to see people doing. It's going to be the battle, the constant battle, the confrontation, the ability to go into intercessory prayer and allow God to make them, to flow through you, to take care of issues and to solve situations and break down strongholds and so it's a very powerful work that's done in the spirit and mostly where we don't see it, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, and then to build and to plant. Majority of that's going to be prayer, and the majority of that's going to be intercessory prayer, which isn't glamorous, and it takes something out of your body physically to sacrifice. But as you're tearing down spiritual warfare, and as you're beginning to build back up, you're doing the weeping intercessory prayer and then travail. And that's the powerful work of a prophet's office. If a prophet's not an intercessor, they're not a prophet. Being a prophet isn't anything bold, it's not anything great. It's not the reading mail stuff that we see. Prophets don't need to read mail. And if they do, they're going to do it one-on-one. It's not showy. But the inheritance that he received, that double portion, was the assistance he received in the supernatural realm. It wasn't the miracles, even though there was double miracles. It was this chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. It's the angels of the Lord that go with prophetic people, that travel with prophetic people. And I know for a fact, and it's a story that's been told many times, but Sister Blackshear saw an army of angels behind me and Megan when we stepped into Life Church for the first time. And it broke a stronghold that she had been dealing with. We had no idea there were angels behind us, of course. You rarely ever will. But that's part of the prophetic anointing, and that's what we need flowing here. Because as it's flowing here, all of us are benefiting from it. All of us are benefiting from the angels of the Lord. You know, I was ministering in Eagle River, and I got a text message from a woman of God, and she said, "Uriel's with you." Well, Uriel's another archangel that's not mentioned in the Bible, but he's the one that checked the doorposts for blood and wiped out all those officers, the 185,000 officers. That's Uriel. And so I was told Uriel's with me. Earthquakes. That's when the Anchorage was going through all those earthquakes and all the aftershocks. It's a real thing. But if we don't acknowledge that, and if we don't do anything that will require the assistance of angelic beings and hosts and armies, then we don't need it. God's not going to allot it. And so it's what we're doing and what we're praying that really matters, what we're seeking after and what we're pushing after. I was looking at Moses when he started in with Pharaoh. And he goes in there. He throws the stick down, becomes a serpent, and Pharaoh goes, "Big whoop." Yeah. And his magicians do the exact same thing. How often is that with us right now in the spirit world when we're going after things? I want my children to be loosed. I want my family to be saved. I want whatever it is that you're really pushing for and you're telling Pharaoh to let go of. And you whip out what you've got in the supernatural and prayer, And he goes, big whoop. What do you do then? That was all Moses knew to do. He throw that rod down. So it become a snake. Aaron throws it down. The magicians do the same thing. The Israelite or the Aaron's rod at least eats up the snakes. But I mean, that would be pretty impressive to me to have some magicians do the exact same thing. So, man, now we're going to go back. We're going to do some, it's time to start some plagues. We're going to get real. So we're going to turn the water to blood. Okay. That's incredibly impressive to me. I don't have the first clue how to do that. But the magicians did. So you're launching into hell, Rick. And hell's going, I can do it too. I got just as much ability as you. What are we going to do now, guys? Steve, what are you going to do when the devil's just like, here's right back at you? In fact, you're saying, with my kids, I want you to free them from the addiction, and I want you to free them from what's got them bound. And now you can't sleep at night. Now you have anxiety, or now you have almost the exact same condition that they have. Have you stopped to think what that might be? Okay. Could that be supernatural? Was Mark Morgan just stumbling around up on top because he has blood sugar, his levels were out of whack? I'm sure you could make that argument. Or is it supernatural? Do we live in a supernatural world? Yes. So why is there so much sickness in this church? Have you stopped to think of that? Spirit of God moves in this church very easily and very well. I would dare say better than most churches, or we're blessed to be humble. It's better than most churches. But we're sick. We have conditions. Have we stopped to think of that? Phoebe, why are your conditions just like Toby now? Your son. We're believing for Tobias and his family to come in. He has health problems. He has issues. Now Phoebe is experiencing some of the exact same. What's going on there? Do we think about that? And can we carry that by ourselves? And can we see the battle that's raging in the heavens? Or not raging if we stop? If we go, well, that didn't work. Well, it didn't work with Moses either. The magicians matched the supernatural, no problem. So let's go to lice. Try that out. Did that work? Did the magicians, could they reproduce that? So what do we do when hell's got what we got? Hosea 12:13. Can you put that up, Aaron? Hosea 12:13. So here's Elijah or Elisha. I want a double portion of your spirit. We move on. And you begin to see where he's walking in this. And 2 Kings 3 and 14, he says, as the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand. The Lord of hosts. He's walking in what his real double portion is here. In fact, that Shunammite woman, in 4 and 13, he says, what is it to be done for thee? Would thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? What host? Is Elisha a soldier? What host is he talking about, Steve? What do you think? Rhetorical question. What would give him, why would that be something that he did or said? And that's amazing to me when Naaman, the king of Syria, sends a letter to the king of Israel saying, I'm sending my servant here, you're going to heal him. It's 2 Kings 5. And he, verse 7, it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes, said, am I God to kill, to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of this leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And so when Elisha in the next verse hears that he's rent his clothes, he sends a message to him saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Is this how we respond to a situation like this, I wonder? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Man, that's arrogant. Or is that when you really know, when we know who we are? And so one prophet will have an entire country coming and surrounding their town in 2 Kings 6. And this is where he says to his servant, fear not, for there's more that's with us than be with them when they wake up and they're surrounded. And so then he says, which is, should be revelation to all of us, open his eyes that he can see what basically what he's saying, that I can, what I can see. And what's he see? And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. What's his double portion again? Is it miracles? You know our awesome story about the lepers, the four lepers? And as they walk towards the camp, their steps get louder and louder. And it's like, oh, man, here comes an army. And so they start to flee. Right. Is that what happened? Or Elisha in chapter 7 of 2 Kings, when he gives a word and says, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. So the lepers start walking. In verse 6, it says, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear what? Noise of what? Chariots? Noise of horses? Even the noise of a great host? Was it the lepers' steps being magnified? Or was it a prophetic word that was given by the prophet and his double portion, which is really angelic assistance? Doing what they do. We look at the wrong thing sometimes. We don't realize that this is such a small picture of what we're looking at right here. So Kimberly doesn't realize how many angels that travel with her. We don't know. It was a lucky wreck. She had some weirdo come and yank her out and then just take off. I mean, that was just they had to get to the airport, so. No, that was an angel. Right. How many angels do we bump into, Paul, a day? How many angels have kept you safe? You've been shot 300 times. You're still here. Now you're here in Sterling. Well, how in the world did you get here? especially now, of all places, to this dinky church where everyone's sick. Are we just going to give up, each one of us? Put yourself in Moses' place right there. He's just doing what he's told. That's how the prophetic should work. That's how you, when you're in prayer, if you don't have anything to say, pray in the Holy Ghost. Because then you are praying the perfect will of God. And you've got to trust that. You've got to trust that. I've had teaching about casting demonic spirits out, you got to speak to them in English. But I've seen them cast out when I prayed in the Holy Ghost, so I don't know what to say to that. Maybe it was a weaker demon, I don't know. But if we could trust to pray in the Holy Ghost, if we don't have a word, what they call a rhema word, a right now word from God, pray in the Holy Ghost about your children. Don't pray them right out of what God's trying to do to get them in. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Learn to pray in the Holy Ghost and be confident in the fact that you are praying the perfect will. You couldn't pray any more perfect unless he gives you a direct word. Merle, if he doesn't give you a direct word, you just pray in the Holy Ghost. You got it made. And then he can lead you really into the deep waters because you have no idea what you're praying for. That's that enter into his rest in Hebrews is talking about. When we war, but we're resting at the same time, it's because we have no idea where he's leading us as we're praying in the Holy Ghost. But then he works through us with boldness and with power, and he rips down strongholds, which we can't see. Because if we could see, we wouldn't do it. We'd wet our pants. We'd run away. We'd back off. We'd back off like we always do, right? Do we always back off? Seriously, is the devil supposed to give up the very first time you pray against him? Are the demonic strongholds here in Sterling even supposed to give up the first time? What about the fourth time? All right. What about the fifth time? Right. You know, there comes a moment, though, where there is going to start becoming a difference here. Right. If we, Sterling, can stick to this. Yes. Pathways to spiritual authority. It's in the Bible over and over again. I take too much time to get where I'm going anyways. Paul bore in his body in Colossians. He never had even been there. But 1:24, he's talking about, I'm taking up the lack for what's lacking in the body there in the Colossian church. I'm bearing it, the brunt of it in my body to make up for lack. You ever think, Phoebe, that you carrying that and you walking through that? It may be the only thing that's kept Tobias sane because you're carrying part of what he can't. I was thinking about this, Misha. Like, I don't think Uncle Daryl doesn't have the ability to carry the darkness that you carry and fight every day. So is there a possibility that the darkness you fight against every day is you're making up for the lack of what he can't do? So he can actually, number one, come back to God. Number two, walk with God. You ever think of that? You ever think that what we're dealing with is supernatural? Right. That you're bearing through it and there's nothing wrong with you? It's not a lack of faith? That Jesus won the victory by what? His flesh being killed. The living fire being beat out of him. And so Paul's talking about bearing in my body the death of Jesus Christ so I can live by the power of Jesus Christ. I'm weak, so you're strong, Steve. He's telling them guys, as an apostle, I'm made to look like a fool so you guys can be wise. I'm okay with it. You think maybe that's why some of you are sick? That God trusts this church enough? That you can make up for the lack in even Life Church or Kenai Pentecostal or Soldotna, much less this church, much less your family? Can God work that way through you, do you think? Or is it just a sickness, a lack of faith, Cliff? That's why you're not healed. What do we need to get through this kind of a deal? Do we just need good preaching? What kind of an anointing do we need to flow to break this, break through, and continue strong? What are angels? Ministering spirits? Do we need ministering spirits? Do we need something to strengthen our spirit as we're battling through this? This is an ongoing revelation for me because I've struggled with health for the last number of years, and it's been a deal. And then there's other people that are prophetic that struggle with things very deeply, and they can go very low. It's only the prophetic anointing pulling it out of them, saying, I need a word, texting them, I need a word. Give me a word. I don't really need a word. I'm just trying to get the prophetic flowing in them because that's what got Elijah out of the cave was the prophetic anointing. That might be what gets us out of the cave is the prophetic anointing. He said, go anoint Elisha, go anoint Hazael, go anoint Jehu, however you say it. He anointed Elisha, and that's it. Elisha anointed the other two. It's angels. It's the assistance of the supernatural. It's what you can't see. That's why we need the office of the prophet to be working and we need to acknowledge it, and we need to be accepting it, and we need to be flowing in it as we much as we can. And so that means, I'm going to give you an example. Brother Hildebrand, I do not believe Brother Hildebrand's a prophet. But he, Pastor Glover, pricked something in him, and the prophetic started to flow. Who felt that? You know what that kind of prophetic flow was what it was for? It was to quicken your dead promises. It's for the prophetic things that even forgot about that God brings back to our mind if we can just start pushing for it or believing for it again. It's that breath of life. Prophetic never dies. Prophetic anointing never dies. That's why Elisha's bones could raise somebody from the dead. Prophetic anointing. And when we get a moment there that's a surprise, that all of a sudden we have some special spirit start to flow, we need to take advantage of that. You need to grab onto it and take it for all it's worth. Because that's going to be what brings back to life dead things and dead things in you even. Because it takes a prophet to get Israel out of Egypt. It's going to take the prophetic to get your children out of Egypt. You realize that, right? It's going to take the prophetic to keep them once they're out of Egypt. That's Hosea 12:13 in a nutshell. Us too. We need the prophetic to flow. We need to respect it. Kimberly needs to grow more in the prophetic. She's prophetic. She needs to grow more in it. Ellis, you need to realize that there's probably a reason why you're here. It's probably not what we think it is for however much longer you're here. We don't know. But we need to look at everything as what's God doing and what's he doing now. And I need a fresh word, a prophetic word, because it's the prophetic word that is that sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God, the rhema word of God, the promises you've got that I hope that you're saying over and over and over again every single day. Mike Jackson can quote the promise we moved here on that has been being fulfilled starting this year. In our own house, blessing after blessing, so it's being fulfilled, but we still quote it every night. And I just added another promise to it. And so now we quote that promise too. Because as we walk through these rhema words or these promises, prophetic promises to you, or a word of God that just all of a sudden is quickened to your spirit, you feel the Holy Ghost, it's a witness. And so you make that your promise. And I'm going to see this. You hold on to that promise, and you keep pushing through Pharaoh. You keep pushing through the magicians. You keep pushing through all the Israelites going, how can we have so much lice on us? How is this supposed to be? Now our job's way harder since you got here. Thanks for saying that. Now my life's hell. You've made it worse. Please stop praying. Steve, I don't need your prayers anymore. It makes everything worse. What are you going to do when you hear that? Amen. Reviving in faith. That's going to break the spirit of unbelief that would make a man of God like Mark Morgan stumble when he starts to confront it. But for us here, God has us on our path. We have a spiritual authority that's very... It's very broad and as far as the covering goes with Pastor Glover. And you can grow under it in his gifts. I've seen Brother Norm Heiler grow under Pastor Glover in his giftings. To where now, if Pastor Glover's not here, I'm pretty sure that Norm Heiler is going to confirm the word when I speak. That's growing in the giftings. That's spending time with Pastor Glover one-on-one. That's honoring Pastor Glover, taking care of Platt. He honors him by taking him out fishing. They're doing this one-on-one time together, and that spirit starts to transfer. That's what I mean about this, getting this and cultivating it, appreciating it in each other. I don't work in those gifts. I don't. I refuse to. I know. Kimberly, do you do? No? Ellis? something about these two Churchill girls that, I don't know, something special is all. So I'm constantly trying to prick it. Very special anointing there, and I can't define it. I don't know. But I want to see it growing, and I want to see them emboldened. And so that's how we do it, is by speaking to them. That's what we do to our promises. And that's how we're going to defeat, and that's how we're going to get our family out of Egypt. I really believe that a great majority of us have just pretty well given up hope for that. That's almost impossible at this point. Right? So we need a quickening, don't we? We need to realize that this isn't an automatic thing, that you're going to see resistance every step of the way. We're going to win, but you're going to see resistance. If you give up in your faith, you're going to lose. If you don't keep pushing forward, you're going to win. You're going to lose if you don't keep pushing forward. You're going to win if you do. It's simple, but it's a battle. You know, Phoebe, I could say it to people that are dealing with affliction. Why aren't you dead? Does that ever cross your mind? Simple questions like that. Why didn't Pharaoh just kill Moses? Why in the world was he able to go in there to the most powerful person in the world and confront him without being killed? John the Baptist was immediately arrested and then just on a whim had his head cut off. Does that ever cross your mind? Why didn't Moses get killed? In fact, Moses said he was in great anger towards Pharaoh. He said, "You better never see my face again." And Ricky goes, "Well said, because this entire world's never going to see your face again. You've said it very well." How come he didn't get killed, Steve? You ever think about that? Okay. So Phoebe, why are you still here? You ever think about that? Seriously, how many angels keep you guys safe? Do you ever think about that? Do you believe in that? Do you feel it? Do you know when angels are around? Do you expect there to be angels? In fact, that Friday night, I prayed for Uriel to be sent to Mark Morgan. Man, that's arrogant. Mark Morgan doesn't even know who you are. Big whoop. I know who I am. Yep. You know, that problem, what really got me going with Brother Hildebrand was God's given me a promise that I'm going to be able to start praying like I used to pray. And that was intercessory prayer every single time I prayed. Some form of it. And I felt it quickened again. And I've missed being able to do that so much. How many of you guys pray intercessory prayer? And if you haven't, why not? I haven't been able to. I wonder who's been filling that gap. It's hard on the heart. Yeah, you have to learn to have balance, which I didn't. But that doesn't excuse any of us from not doing it. It doesn't. And we need that flowing in order for us to have birthings in the spirit. You know, promises have to be birthed also. That's why Elijah up on the mountain put his head between his knees in the birthing position and seven times prayed for God to send rain until we got that cloud. We got to birth things in the spirit also. But we need angels. We need the prophetic anointing because the devil attacks that the most, because obviously it is what he fears the most. And so he comes and he'll attack intimidation-wise in your body. You know what you do, Steve? You just keep pressing on. You stay victorious. You resist him. I can walk. I can live. I can be happy. I can be satisfied not being a stud anymore, not having all kinds of energy and being great shape. I can handle that. I can handle staying up all night most Tuesday. Well, for sure, when Pastor Glover's gone, I'm going to be up Wednesday night. I'm not going to be able to sleep the whole night. And same with Saturday night. But I can handle that because I know it's for the kingdom. I know it's something I can't explain. It's definitely not insomnia. It's definitely spiritual. So I'm definitely not going to let it affect me as much as possible. I'm going to keep pushing forward because some kind of resistance, and I'm going to push through it, and I'm going to be victorious. Amen. There's a few ways the prophetic worked with Elijah. Elisha shows us. One of them was music. When he, in that 2 Kings 3, 14, 15, he called for a minstrel. And when the minstrel started to play, the prophetic started to flow. Go ahead, Misha. Another time when that Shunammite woman, her son that was miraculously birthed, died, he didn't know what was, he said, God's hiding this from me. Go ask her what's wrong. Finds out what's wrong. He says, take my staff. He tells the servant to take his staff, lay it on the child. Nothing happens. So then he goes into that room alone with that dead promise, now dead. And he starts to put his mouth on its mouth, chest on its chest, and the body starts to wax warm. And so he gets up and he starts walking back and forth, creating body heat. One thing I could think of, gets back, and finally that child sneezes 7 times and comes back to life. If that's a definition of Paul telling Timothy, you need to stir up the gift that's in you. I know it's in you because I laid my hands on you, and it was given to you right then. And you need to stir that gift up in your spirit. That's what we need to do. I'm looking at a lot of tired faces, probably some dead promises, or counting yourselves out, or feeling weak, depressed, being defeated. We need to stir gifts up in us, and you can do that yourself. Especially in an environment like this, you just got to do it. It actually takes some, like, we have to do it. We have to break through. That must be what they called praying through, Pastor Glover. We got to do that. It's getting that gift flowing. You know, Joseph spoke his dreams. Because you got to speak things from them to begin to work. And he went immediately. His brethren hated him more, threw him in a cave, sold him off. They were going to kill him. Speaking of two prophetic dreams God had given him. He went from bad to worse. Jacob sees that bloody garment, and he receives the fact that his favorite child's dead. He grieves him for 22 years, and he never once. Pastor Glover taught about, what was that, chapter 33, when Jacob hears God's voice there on Thursday. He doesn't hear his voice for 22 years until he's given a report that Joseph is alive. And his spirit revives. That's 45, 46, verse 1. He sacrifices to God, and God speaks to him through a dream. Grief, sorrow stops the prophetic. It blocks it. And that's okay. We have seasons of life where we go through grieving. That's part of life, and that's why the body needs to take up the slack. But it stops it. And some of us are grieving things that it's not God's will for you to be grieving anymore. I'm not talking family members, but losses of some sort. and you don't hear from God because the prophetic, the voice of God stopped in your life until you get over it, until you allow God to revive your spirit. 22 years, he didn't know. It was 13 years for Joseph to become number two in the entire world of Egypt. You know, Psalms 105, 16 through like 22, you should read that sometime. Said he gave him authority to bind princes at his will. Talking about Joseph, the king did, Pharaoh. But it was another, what, 7 plus 2 years? How long are we going to grieve? I'm not being mean. No way, not at all. You need to grieve loss. When family members die, you need to grieve. Or you aren't going to ever move on. That's just one of those things. Stirring it up, minstrel music, and then those moments, like Brother Hildebrand stepping into the prophetic, is going to quicken things that need to be quickened. God's going to quicken things to your mind. I'd really like you to just play that song you were playing, Misha. I'd like you to stand. Man, I ministered to the youth in June. And, man, it was quite the deal, because God was wanting to impart fivefold ministry in a moment. You know, whatever else happened, the Aubrey Eichard, you know, the Eichard said that she's like a different person, like she changed.
Right.
That was just a simple thing, like I'm saying here to you guys right now. But she stepped into it, and she was ministered to powerfully. Kimberly, my wife, Sister Kim, my wife. I want us to close our eyes. I really prefer you to pray in the Holy Ghost. You don't have to even do this loudly. Man, I've been very, to me, it's been very so low key. The chariots of fire, angelic hosts, flames of fire, I think they're called in Hebrews and Psalms, angels. That's why we need the prophetic anointing flowing. That's what clashes with the enemy. That's what defeats the forces of darkness. That's what gives guys like Michael something to do and his host. Warring on behalf of Daniel's prayer. The book of Daniel. And it was a war. Gabriel couldn't get a message to him because of the battle going on there. And then the Grecian king joins the fight to try to defeat Michael and his army of angels. We need that assistance. And even with that assistance, sometimes it's not right away. This speak it and it's going to happen stuff is garbage. Majority of the time, that's just garbage. It ain't going to happen that night. It isn't. God's going to shape us through this. God's going to show Moses that, you know, in chapter 4, 22, when I told you that you're going to tell Pharaoh that I'm going to kill his son because of my firstborn Israel, that he was showing God, he was showing Moses about us, about his son, Jesus Christ, that it's always about God. That's why David talked with such authority to Goliath, because he recognized and he could see that it was about, you're challenging my God. And that's what Moses was getting taught right there, is that this is really about me. I'm going to ultimately kill the firstborn of Pharaoh because he thinks he's a god. There's no other gods before me. And so I'm going to glorify myself through him, being hardened in his heart. And you, Israel, are going to go through a number of these plagues, and the work's going to get harder. But if you continue coming to Pharaoh, you're going to win. Pharaoh said, who is this Lord? I don't know this God. Jewish people say when the Red Sea was coming back together, Moses said, Pharaoh, you wanted to know who my God was? Now you know. That's what it's about. It's not about you, Steve. Rick, it's not about you. Ellis, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's about the body of Christ. It's about the fact that he will not allow his name to be defeated. He will not allow his children to be made fun of or become spectacles or lose and lose and lose. Brother Morgan was saying that it's our God's destiny for Sterling, for the most impactful people in Sterling to go to this church. Most impactful people in Soldotna to go to the Soldotna Pentecostal Church. Because this is our promised land. And just like Canaan, just like that looked, with all the perversion and all the sin, that's what we're looking at now. But are we going to disrespect the promised land? Are we just going to back up? Are you going to push twice and then that's it? At what point do we quit? At what point do we believe God's going to step in? At what point do we believe that God's ultimately going to save and redeem us, redeem our children, going to honor the promises he gave us? Or was it a lie? Did he lie to us? All the many prophetic words that have come across this platform from Pastor Glover recently, the last 2 years especially, I wish we had them written down because they have been some of the most powerful things I've heard. In fact, in one of them, he was quoting the promise me and Megan came here with. A new thing. It's springing forth right now. Shall we not know it? It's a new thing. That means we've never seen it before. That means we haven't read about it in here before. Are we sensitive to the Spirit to see what Elisha could see that his servant couldn't see? We're not going to be if we're not supernatural. We're not going to be if we're not praying in the Holy Ghost. We're not going to be sensitive to those moments when we should be intimidated, but we're not. When we're stepping forward like David did, there wasn't one bit of intimidation in David. There wasn't even a contest there. It wasn't even a contest. That's how it is with us. If we'll step into those moments, it's always about God. Look at Exodus 4:22. That's before he. That's 4:22. Nothing started yet. And he tells Moses, ultimately, this is what this is about. I want you to close your eyes.